listening to Banter with the Boys. From high octane to adrenaline. Starting lineups to starting grids. Gridiron to Grand Prix. Get laced up.
Let's go.
It's time for Banter with the Boys.
Yo, 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 welcome back to Banter with the Boys Fast Laps. I'm Smelty. I'm back from almost the dead. Was very sick, but Tyler hosted for us last episode, did an amazing job. He's back here again. Tyler, what's going on?
How we doing, brother man? I'm excited to be back.
Word up, word up. And that, right next to him, we got Cole. Cole, how's your week been? I mean, I know it's, what is it? Is it Tuesday? Yeah, it's Tuesday. How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been going good so far, you know? It's like got a lot of it left.
Right.
But, you know, it's been a good hiatus, so happy to be back.
Word, word. Joe, our co-host right here, what's popping?
Excited to be here. Favorite part of the week. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
With that, let's just hop right in to our Jetta race. Obviously, before the race had even started, what was it, Friday night? Carlos Sainz was having pain and ended up needing the old emergency appendicitis surgery. Has anybody here had that surgery? Have you really?
Yeah, I had the appendicitis. Horrible. The whole night I thought I had to poop. And then eventually I'm laying on the ground. I'm just trying to tough it out. Thought I had a bad cramp or something that wouldn't come out, you know? And then all of a sudden I went to my buddy the next morning. I was in college and I was like, you need to bring me to the ER. And I went in and they were like, no, you need to go to, like, an actual ER. Like, you need to go to the ER because it's about to burst.
Oh, he took you to, like, some urgent care or something.
He's like, you need to go because it's about to burst. They put me on some meds, and I was vibing.
You're vibing. Next thing you know, you woke up, and you had stitches on your freaking gut.
So, yeah, they're pretty good with the stitches now. It's pretty small. Some cute nurses, though. I was in college living my dream.
How do you know? You were vibing.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, with that, obviously, we had an F2 driver, Oliver Bierman, take over for Carlos Sainz. I mean, what's your first reactions on how he did? Anybody?
Mad impressive. You know, he got one practice session in, and then straight into quali. He was like, it was like 0.03 away from even getting into that Q3 spot over Lewis. He looked impressive from start to finish this whole weekend.
Yeah, and obviously super impressive. Also with Bierman, they talked about how, you know, people who, when they come up, when not getting a lot of practice, they kind of, you know, they can do okay in the qualifying, but the race is where they suck. And it looks like that's where he excelled. Throughout the race, he just got cleaner and cleaner. The end of the race, staying away from Lewis and them, just super impressive.
Yeah, completely agree. Coming up to F1, for anyone, super difficult. And I agree, his race looked really, really good. He was Haas's reserve driver, I think. He did some testing for them last year. Coming into F1, especially for a team like Ferrari, who is their youngest driver to date so far, yeah, he killed it.
No, I mean, to say that he had a stellar day is probably an understatement. I mean, I didn't expect that from him at all, let alone you had Danny Ric back there struggling. But, like, the fact, I mean, at least he was able to get in a somewhat decent car, so do you think that factored into it as well? Like, what if he would have been in, I don't know, not Alpine, what am I saying? Yeah, Alpine. What if he would have been in one of the Alpine cars? Does he perform just as well?
I mean, but there's also not as much pressure, right? So he performed also with pressure in a fast car. And just to go back to, like, kind of how the race went, I thought it was pretty awesome. I think F1 did a great job of kind of showcasing the father and the emotion he was going through. I thought that was really cool to, like, watch that, especially later on in the race when he almost, in that very last turn before the straightaway, he had little wheel squirrel. He popped back a little bit. It was super cool seeing that. But, yeah, I think it's even more impressive to step up in a big car that needs points, that's in second. You have to make sure that, you know, if he doesn't get points there, that just lets other teams get a lot closer. And he ended up beating out some of the teams that were right there, beating out some of their racers like Hamilton and them. So I think it's even more impressive that he stepped into, you know, a high performing car and performed how he did.
Yeah, I mean, to say, like, if he was in a different car, would he have performed as good? No, Ferrari's the second best car on the circuit right now. So, I mean, he went into, like, one of the best situations he could, And I mean, not necessarily like he definitely has something to lose, because if he goes and he finishes 15 or below, like he probably doesn't get looked at as a seat next year. But now what position is Ferrari in? You're already committed to Leclerc. You're committed to Hamilton. This cat came in and did more than impressed, raced a heck of a lot better than Hamilton. Now Hamilton or Mercedes pit stops is why Hamilton finished where he did. You know, if they would have double stacked with that first step, he likely would have finished higher than he did. But I mean, it puts Ferrari in kind of a precarious spot here. I mean, he's probably going to get that Haas seat next year, as he should. But that's interesting.
It'll be extremely smart for Haas to do that. But like, is because he did so well, is Ferrari in a similar situation to what Mercedes was literally just in with Hamilton? They didn't want to lose old, what's his name, the guy that's coming up for Mercedes next, the young cat.
Antonelli.
Yeah, so it came out that they were worried about losing him if they signed Lewis for a little bit longer of a deal. So, a.k.a. why, maybe a reason why he departed or will be departing, but do you think Ferrari's kind of in that boat now with how well he did in his first F1 race?
I mean, they could be, but it's also in the same regard as, like, this cat's stupid young, and you don't go to Haas to have a whole career at Haas, right? So if you go to Haas, he's still going to be a part of that Ferrari Junior program or that Ferrari program. So, you know, let's call it what it is. Lewis don't count more than 5 years left.
For sure.
I mean, he has the capability, but I don't think from a mindset he wants to do that. And so, you know, he's essentially just kind of keeping that seat warm for Ollie here until we can see what he can do in that Haas seat.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're Ferrari, you're not upset, right? I mean, you have Hamilton and Leclerc coming next year. You're not upset. He's going to go somewhere else, and good for him. It's just going to help his chances. We obviously haven't seen a lot of these big racing teams like Red Bull and them fill in that other seat yet, or what's going to happen with these other seats. There's so many availability this year. And I think based on some of the contracts that they sign, it just might show where he ends up in 2 years if he signs a two-year with Haas or Williams or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. I think we absolutely see him get his stepping stone as early as next season. Absolutely something that the boys here with the Banner crew will keep an eye on. Let's just talk about that start again, though. So you kind of got that jump start from Lando, which was not a penalty. And as Tyler actually alluded right before the podcast, they did take a long time to figure that out. I kind of forgot about that. Thoughts on the fact that he didn't get a penalty?
I mean, it was clear as day. I think we all think he should have probably gotten a penalty. As a McLaren fan, yeah, I'm happy he didn't, but he definitely should have gotten a penalty. I think the only light at the end of the tunnel that I can see from the situation is that they followed the system. The system told them what to do, and so they did it. And we can only hope that that's what they follow for every other single driver.
I think he deserves a penalty there. I mean, they just gave Magnussen 20 seconds for what he did. I mean, Haas don't need any more downfall like that. They're already back there. 20 seconds, you might as well give them 100 minutes. You know, if they're fighting for 10th, it's not going to change 20 seconds versus whatever. I think he deserves at least a 5-second penalty for that. We saw it a lot last year, too. They were giving out those penalties and off-the-track penalties, especially in the first race last year, like they were nothing. They were just handing them out to everybody. I feel like it should have been a 5-second at least.
I don't know how it wasn't. It's mind-boggling. Even the commentators throughout the race were just like, I don't understand why this is taking so long and how this isn't a penalty. Like, I mean, if you look at it, he didn't gain an advantage by doing it because he jumped and then kind of slowed down. And as he was kind of slowing, other drivers were starting. So, you know, he almost kind of like did more harm than good by inching forward. But
for sure,
it's the letter of the law. Like, it's rules are rules. If we're going to have them, enforce them or tweak the rules where you have some leeway there.
And then just allegedly the sensors not picking it up. I mean, that's pretty wild. I mean, I'd assume in every aspect of F1, they're using top-of-the-line technology.
Well, you don't even need the technology for that. It was clear as day.
Well, I know. That's for sure.
It's like,
100%.
What are we doing?
They probably need the technology for proof, for numbers on a paper to say that he jump-started, but we all saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
very clearly a jump start. I completely agree. Deserved a penalty. I think it comes down to the FIA covering their butts, right? We all saw it happen. I don't think anyone would have been surprised if he got a penalty, but if the rules state this very specific thing, I mean, we look back at Carlos Sainz in Vegas last year. He got screwed over with that drain cover. Obviously, very different situation, but the rules state we're going to state it's a penalty. If the transponder or the system states it's a penalty, then I guess they got to stick with that.
Yeah, well, I mean, Lando's your boy, so.
You got to just bring some human element into it, though, too.
For sure.
To a certain degree, you know, I mean, the sensor, like, if, and
it's,
if this.
But it's the top racing series in the world.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so it's, you'd think it would be like all, because all the eyes are on it. It's like, it's, everything's under a microscope. So I don't know. I mean, I think what I want to say it was, is he didn't gain an advantage, so they didn't penalize him, because like it's typically you would do that to gain an advantage. You know, you go off track.
Like if he would have kept going or something. An advantage.
Yeah, if he wouldn't have stopped himself, I think it would have been penalized. But
because he did stop himself pretty quick, but yeah,
he did, and he didn't have a great jump.
No.
You know,
no,
so no. It's like he didn't really, like I said, he didn't overall gain an advantage.
So maybe that's what saved him at the end of the day. Didn't, quote unquote, gain an advantage. So they just didn't give it to him.
So I have a question, just because I'm of the mindset that there was, you know, a sensor that didn't pick it up, didn't call it out. Do you guys think that they're just saying that to cover something else up? That maybe there was a human element that they were like, no, that isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, like, they're saying, you know, cover their butts and all that. I think naked eye sees it pretty obvious, too. Mm-hmm. I think the sensor is just something, because they're getting so much backlash, they had to throw something out there. I think that's probably where they went with the sensor. It's just an easy out for the FIA.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You talk about human element. You think back to all the bad calls, 2021, last race of the season. You know, got to bring it out there. The human element obviously doesn't work all the time.
No, and I mean, that leads us right into something else that's not a human element. Gasly, not even getting a chance to complete a lap. I mean, we just see Alpine once again failing. I just don't understand. I don't get it.
He's got to be so upset.
Who wouldn't be?
Gasly, it just sucks, because obviously we all, I think, here love Gasly. He's kind of our guy last year in the
mutual interest.
Yeah, yeah. Last year we talked about him all the time, how much we loved him and how much we wanted him to get a good spot. And this just sucks. You know, you hate to see it out of Gasly. And I'm a Gasly fan over Ocon. So, you know, hopefully it's Ocon's issue next week.
And how can you race well and like prove that you still have it to get your next potentially final contract in F1 when you can't even start the race?
Yeah, that Alpine.
Because of a gearbox issue.
That Alpine team's just some absolute mess right now. Just absolute dumpster fire. They can't even get the car under weight, let alone worry about like getting their mechanics right. You know, that team is just absolute dumpster fire.
Just straight rubbish. Straight rubbish. So moving right along, obviously we did have somebody hit the wall. Our boy Lance striking the wall. Thoughts on what he was trying to do right there on that turn at all? I mean, everybody's shaking their head. I mean, we're all in agreement, so.
We saw people overshoot that turn and take it too fast and go, you know, over the strips there outside of the racing track. But I mean, I don't know. Like, it's almost dumb to keep wasting time on Lance Stroll. He's almost guaranteed to have a failure every race. He's there because of his pops. Hopefully his pops sells that team so we can get a real race driver in there.
Do you think, I mean, no matter what, if Lance Stroll's daddy's in there, there's no way nobody else is in that seat?
Correct.
100%. Absolutely. That's been well documented.
Even in the Drive to Survive, his father at like the big dinner they threw or whatever with all the guys there, they were talking about the fact that, like, you know, is my son Lance one of the, you know, best racing drivers? He was saying that in the Drive to Survive. It's just tough, you know. It's like at one point as a father, you're like, I got big investment here, you know, how can I win some races? How can I get more people like Alonso up in the top 10?
Yeah, no, and that's what's tough, because like the whole reason Lawrence Stroll like is doing what he's doing is so he can win a world championship with his son. That's his whole driving force behind getting into racing, is because of Lance. So I don't think that'll ever come. That day will come. If Lance decides to not want to race anymore, it's because Lance decides he doesn't want to race anymore. He's such a prima donna.
And like, in order for them to ever win a championship, if they were in a Red Bull car and they were as far in front as Red Bull is, he's not Checo. He's not doing 1-2s. He's not there. So, I mean, they need a car that's light years ahead. They need to go back to the old Mercedes and get that car out to just gas up the Red Bull, because they just don't have it. There's no car that can blow them out of the water anymore. And Lance is never going to be that guy that's number two that's going to get you the points to secure a title, unless you have like Verstappen, that's just going to get you enough by himself.
I 100% agree with you there. I mean, at least Lance gave me my third favorite radio comm of the race. They were like, and I can't remember who was talking to him, but they said, Lance, can you get the car back? And Lance said, Kev, I'm going to need you here, homie. Lance says, no, I hit the f-ing wall. I just, God, that was awesome. But again, that was my third. So just real quick, because I got to share it. Bierman was my second. Somebody there was like, you are doing a mega job. I thought that was hilarious. Just, you're doing a mega job. I don't know. It's not something we say here over in the States.
Oh, dude, you got to listen to more George Russell.
Dude, I love, well, my number one was actually Albon, and all he said was the word naughty. Like, all of a sudden, he, like, I don't know what it was for or whatever, and I didn't look into it, but all he said was naughty.
I want to say it was one of Magnussen's penalties, because he was, like, he was getting real. They were rubbing elbows. Yeah. Oh, and then Albon gets on, and he just goes,
he just is naughty. Dude, it was hilarious. God. But anyway, back on track.
Speaking of Lewis and George actually say mega a lot. Both of them. Yeah, it's a very British thing. Like, Lando will say it.
And that's
it's very British.
I haven't heard it. Okay. Sounds good. Now I know. I learned something today. There's my one thing every day I learn. Speaking of Magnussen, what about all them penalties? Holy crap. I know we already talked on it, but I mean, you can argue that if he didn't race as well as he did after the majority of those penalties, that Hülkenberg probably doesn't get a point.
Yeah, it's just... Haas doesn't need that, right? I mean, they need anything. They don't need anything bringing them down. They just need help. And it just seemed foolish to give 20 seconds.
It's just insane. It's an outrageous amount.
And they even, like, they were saying that they didn't tell him because, honestly, he was kind of the buffer for Hülkenberg. So it makes sense why they didn't tell him that he was getting the penalties. At the end of the race, I'd be heated. If I was mad.
Yeah, you find out. You finish 11th right behind your teammate. You're like, no, I didn't get points, but at least it wasn't bad. Boom, jumps to 15 or whatever it was. Like, oh, man. It would throw you off.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess I'd want to know. I guess, even if I was running
sure
a decent
knew.
Race.
Because they said, there was radio comms between them that said, like, good job, Matt, or good job, Kev. Like, you're doing a good job holding the pack back for Hülkenberg. So it was already, like, given to him, like, hey, you're not going to win this team race. Let's make sure Hülkenberg gets that 10th spot.
I think it was eventually. I'm just saying, like, the first few laps, they knew for a while, even after the 10-second, but they gave it a couple laps before they told him because they didn't want him to change his driving style and how he was driving. That was kind of what the comms were from the announcers and stuff on it. But, yeah, eventually, okay. I'm sure they told him.
Yeah, I'm just a quick look up at, yeah, 10-second time penalty. He found out about that, and then lap 22, he was hit with the second legal overtake penalty. But at that point, I mean, he was playing defense. He was playing for the team. There was... You knew, I'm not getting points this race. This is for Haas. And man, did he come up to bat. He was crazy, crazy performance.
He did a mega job.
He did a mega job.
Yeah, even Nico afterwards, like on the comms, was just like, thanks, Kev, for, you know, or thank Kev for being whatever he did. It was something on the lines of, like, thanking Kev. Nico Hülkenberg thanking Kevin Magnussen for playing
wild.
A team game.
I mean, I think Nico doesn't get points if Magnussen doesn't pull off that performance.
I don't think so.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Huge for Haas, though, especially this year with all the top dogs kind of taking those top 8 points, you know, top 9 points. For Haas to get any points this year is huge. So it's a huge to get one early on.
No doubt. Just moving right along real quick, like super speed round. What's up with Daniel Ricciardo? Like,
we'll see,
I mean, it's
man.
Just, it's, it hasn't looked good straight up. And I know you can't even say the car's not that good.
Well, the car's
dude,
not there because Yuki's not doing great either.
He's not, but I'd say he's doing better than Danny Ric. And, like, I was low-key looking for Danny Ric to blow him out of the water to make it hard for Red Bull to decide what to do with that second seat. But right now you have no reason to move on from Sergio. So,
well, yeah, I mean, at this point, two races in, neither of those the V-carbs are getting that Red Bull seat.
No, 100%.
Two races in, a lot of season left.
Well, no doubt. And I know we're, like, speculating, like you said, two races in out of what? 24 they got?
I think it's 24 this year, yeah.
plenty of season, but it just doesn't... It's not old-school Danny Ric at all, not even close.
I think it's too soon. Too soon to call, you know, throw in the flag. It's still Danny Ric.
He's still learning the car, but...
I just think it's too soon for Danny Ric. I think he's going to be okay later on in the season, especially if they're going to be helping out each other with Red Bull or whatever they do there. You know, if they can get something going in that car, I think they're going to be okay. I think Danny Rick will, he'll show out. He'll show out.
I'm hoping. I love Danny Rick so much, so I'm really hoping that he finds his stride and he gets back up into those point places. A kind of new information for me, I don't know if you guys heard about this, but apparently he had a 41-second pit stop during that race, and that kind of brought him all the way to the back of the grid. It wasn't said anywhere, but...
Who was? Who did?
Danny Rick.
Gosh, I do feel like I remember that.
I
feel like they couldn't get the wheel on or something. It was super weird.
He spun out in the second to last lap, so no, he just finished out the race there.
So maybe it was a little bit of strategy as well that, you know, caused him to have some bad woes during the race. But in general, he also qualified behind Yuki. He wasn't making a ton of paces. Obviously, the pit stop was probably just the icing on the cake for a bad day. Yeah, hopefully, I mean, home race coming up. Australians don't tend to do amazing at that race, but hopefully he can break that trend.
But let's be honest with that, too. I mean, obviously, everybody wants to see Danny Rick back in a Red Bull. It's not going to happen, right? Neither of the V-carb drivers, jeez, are going to be in the actual Red Bull, right?
No, it'll be Fernando.
Really?
Really? Whoa. We'll table this because that'll be a conversation probably throughout the season as we see how Danny Rick and or Yuki do, because I could see Alonso in the seat as well. That'd be wild. With him and Max, dude. Let's table it. If you got right notes, do that, because that'll be a great conversation. But we do have to move on. Our podium was Verstappen, Checo, Leclerc, between Tyler, me, obviously being Smelty, Cole. We all took Verstappen and Checo. We were all wrong on our third drivers. Joe cleaned house, got the podium 100% correct. So at the moment, Joe is leading in our point system. Again, Tyler Cole, Smelty, all at 3 points. Joe at 5, out here killing it. Back into some F1 news real quick. We only got a couple things. Carlos Sainz could be back for the Australian Grand Prix this weekend, but it's still kind of uncertain, as again we established earlier it was a Tuesday, so we still don't know. But on Thursday of this same week, this is according to essentiallysports.com, so take that with a grain of salt, but on Thursday he is allegedly due for the FIA's mandatory medical evaluations, which include a crucial driver extraction exercise. This test is quite demanding as it requires the driver to unbuckle the safety harness, remove the steering wheel within 7 seconds, exit the car, and then return the wheel to its position with another 5 seconds. Do you think you could do that, Cole, after a week of having your appendix taken out? I know you're a top-tier, world-class athlete.
I don't even know how those things go back in. You know, I'd be stuck there for 20 seconds just trying to figure out how the thing pulls off and goes back in. But I was thinking, do you think they're not in so much of a rush at Ferrari because of how good Behrman did last week?
100%.
2 weeks ago?
100%. Why would you rush him? You already have the seat filled.
I think
you're doing Behrman, a good service, but you could also do Carlos the good service if he's ready to go to bring him back early too.
That's the kicker to me. It's like, does Ferrari have anything to lose for putting Behrman out there? No.
No.
Carlos sure does.
Has
he
everything
don't got a seat
to lose
next year.
Mm-hmm. So what, I mean, you got to be fully 100% healed to like go, you know, be good to go.
I think, though, a lot of these F1 drivers are just ready to go. Like, I mean, I trashed Stroll, but him racing with the wrists and stuff last year was impressive.
It was ridiculous.
And
I'll give him that, too.
And I think Carlos has the same mentality a lot of these racing drivers do. I think he wants to get back in the car. It's tough because you said Ferrari doesn't have a lot to lose, and I agree to an extent, but they do have a lot to gain from putting Carlos in there, right? Because with Carlos behind the wheel, you do have, you know, 3, 4, 5 better position placements. Possibly.
You have an opportunity to potentially hit podium.
Yeah.
You know, he could still beat out Leclerc, or if Leclerc has a failure or whatever and has to retire, well, you still have Carlos and you feel good about that. So
you feel good about Behrman getting you points, but you don't feel good about Behrman getting you Carlos Sainz points.
Not yet, but again, he's super young. But yeah, you make a very valid point on that. Really, the only other bit of news, I guess, that kind of came out today was Ralf Schumacher, who's like the younger brother of Michael, also the only pair of brothers to ever win an F1 race, actually. Allegedly, he's saying that Horner should just straight up, you know, call it a day and resign. Obviously, Max Verstappen's dad feels the same way, as we know and you guys touched on. So, is there more to this? Like, truly, why have we not heard from, you know, the alleged victim of the situation? I don't know. I thought it was pretty huge of him coming out here. Right. Tyler's over here giving us the Johnny Manziel money sign, but...
There's one reason you haven't heard from her. There's an out-of-court settlement, and she can't talk.
But there's also, I mean, didn't Horner just come out recently and basically say that, yeah, I'm kind of done with that, that's behind us and all that? He just came out and said that after the race, didn't he?
He actually keeps using the words, I won't go into detail, in a lot of his interviews. If you look back, which is just like... I mean, that's probably the, you know, politically correct way to say it, right? But, like, he's obviously doesn't want to talk about the situation, which, again, leads to maybe the money situation. But, I don't want to keep talking about this literally every episode, but it's still a thing in mainstream, quote-unquote mainstream F1 media, right? It's still being talked about. There's just got to be something more. Does F1 get nervous, or FIA, whatever it may be, FOM, whatever... Do they get nervous like that this still continues to be a thing, and at some point they, under the table, push Horner out the door?
He definitely doesn't have that Drake thing going on. If, you know, he doesn't want to get it shown out there. That's probably what happened, you know?
Oh, man.
Just love talking about dogs.
Boy, Cole was really waiting for that one.
I'll tell you what. I think there's probably stuff that we don't know happening at Red Bull, right? But I also think the media can be pretty conniving, right?
100%.
So they're gonna push out whatever they think is gonna grab people. I get so many F1 news on my phone, and 80% of it is just crap. It's annoying, right? So I can maybe go to Sky Sports and F1.tv, F1.com, whatever. But that's pretty much it. I just think they don't have anything to really talk about right now. Last race, they had Ollie, which was good, so they could talk about Ollie for a little bit, but it's slow news week. Let's bring Christian back into the limelight, quotation marks, see if anyone's still interested.
I mean, even back to the Horner statement and the way that Red Bull has handled it, they're kind of asking for it from the media, though. Like, they're not helping their case in any way. They're kind of asking for all this stuff and publicity from the media.
All publicity is bad publicity still good? Oh, my God, I can't say that word. Publicity. Is bad publicity still good publicity?
You had it. We got you. We know what you're saying.
In this case, I would say no, because it's not only bad for Red Bull, but it's bad for all the F1. It'll pull more eyes there, but not the eyes you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't put the sport of F1, which is rapidly growing with, you know, Drive to Survive the last number of years, in a good light right now.
Right. So I think, you know, as much as we don't want to talk about it every episode, I think there's going to be continually, man, neither one of us can talk, be things that come out every week. I mean, there's going to be some, so, you know, we'll just keep an eye on it. But with that, we'll just head right into our Australian preview. And heading right into our Australia preview, Joe's actually going to give us some information on last year's Australian Grand Prix. Just a couple key points to look out for. What's going on?
Yeah, got a little bit to go through for last year. Real quick, before we jump into the highlights, some quick fun facts about Australia. The current track we're on, Melbourne, introduced in 1996. However, we saw the first Australian GP happening in Adelaide in 85. Most wins, Hamilton. Most poles, Schumacher. And another really fun fact, Australian drivers never finished on the podium at a home race since the track first joined the World Championship. We got Mark Webber closest at fourth. We saw Danny Ric actually get fourth, but then he was later disqualified due to fuel regs. Oh, you're right, twice, yep.
No, he got second.
He got second. I meant second, my bad. Yeah, we saw him get on the podium, second place, later disqualified for breaching the fuel consumption regs.
I'm so glad they got rid of the fuel, like, regulations. So now it's just like you don't have to, like, pit for fuel. Like, there is no essentially fuel regs. You just fuel the car up, and it's just out of the equation.
Yeah, so I get what you're saying.
I think at this point, I don't think they were still putting in fuel. It's just when he finished the race, he was lower than he was supposed to be.
Oh, gotcha, yep. Gotcha.
They do that so to make sure that when you're finishing the race, if you use all your fuel, you don't just stop on the track in the middle of the race. Yep. All right, we'll get into some highlights. We saw Perez starting in the pit lane after a qualifying accident and an exchange of some engine parts under Parc Fermé when he wasn't supposed to do that. First lap, Max getting overtaken by Russell in the first turn of lap one, and Leclerc getting beached on lap one for a retirement, bringing out the first, that's right, first safety car of this race. On lap seven, we see Albon hitting the wall for the second safety car and the eventual red flag. We actually saw Mercedes 1-2 for six of those laps until that second safety car come out, where they make a tire change for George. Shortly before the red flag, meaning everyone gets that free tire change, and George is left out on bad strategy. We see a restart on lap 10, Hamilton leading Max, and then a car engine failure on lap 18 for George, starting the virtual safety car. All right, and then things get a little bit crazy after about 30 or so laps. Lap 54, we see Magnussen with a late race wall hit, taking out a tire, bringing out that third safety car on lap 54, and then the second red flag on lap 56.
And wasn't it right after that red flag where like everybody started stopping on the track and like almost rear-ending each other all over the place? I can't remember who it was, went flying through the sand. It's just like, yep. Oh my God, dude.
I think it was
almost really bad.
Yeah.
If you bring anybody like who hasn't watched F1, they want to see wrecks, they want to see crazy races, this is that race. It's kind of like being a new F1, me and Tyler always talk about, I think you too, Schmelzy, we always talk about last season was a real first season we watched full through. And it was pretty exciting to see this race because you're like, what is going on right now, you know?
Something we weren't used to as newer fans.
Absolutely. Yeah. The race restart, lap 57, 58. Definitely 57 out of 58. Verstappen, Hamilton, and then Alonso. Yeah. Mess out to that starting line. Everyone kind of keeping back, trying to gain, for some reason, a little bit of time to each other. And yeah, bunching up on that one corner. I'm going to do like just a quick play-by-play of that race restart because it's crazy. And
it's
best way to kind of convey what happened here. Race restarts, lap 57 out of 58. Turn one, we see Sainz bumping into Alonso, getting him off the track into the turn. We see Perez becoming a lawnmower after narrowly missing Gasly. We see Sargeant, of course, tagging De Vries and both getting beached. And then we see both of the Alpines run into each other into the wall on turn two, right before Stroll locks up into the gravel trap in turn three or four, bringing out the third and final red flag. What a crazy... This is all happening, by the way, within the first sector of the race. They haven't even gotten over that first sector line yet.
Yeah.
What a crazy restart.
That's insane. I mean, my first thought, of course, we've all been kind of into F1 for the last number of years, whatever it may be, but being newer, watching every single race when I can, that was pretty wild. The first thing I could think about was like, wow, that was a lot of money right there. That just went up in a bunch of little... carbon fiber pieces all over the track.
Well, even like after the race, who was the old president of Alpine?
Oh, I do.
Otmar.
Otmar came out and goes, oh yeah, it wasn't either the driver's error. Like, come on.
Dude, nah, that was so bad. The Alpines hitting each other were so bad. Come on.
You think about like, realistically, if you think about that race versus like how this race was kind of the setting stone for a lot of teams for the rest of the year, especially those lower teams, as far as getting big points. A team like Alpine, if they can just stay together and get through there, I'm talking about a lot of points, a lot of well-needed points. So it sucks, but it's interesting because this race, a lot of those lower teams got a lot of big points.
Yeah, when you have eight DNFs, you know, it opens up for so much. You have two places that aren't getting points. So if you're one of those 12 drivers remaining, you have a pretty good chance. Especially starting from a restart. Right, so they had a restart, so it was a race start to start with the 12 drivers. So it's anybody's game at that point, as long as you can make it through turn one.
Literally,
I remember being all like gassed up right before that restart because of the fact of Russell. Obviously, you just touched on this, but Russell taking Verstappen on that first lap, I was like, oh, this might not be the race Verstappen wins.
Yeah, I was really, really looking forward to see what Lewis could do off that restart because even from the start as a whole, Lewis got a huge jump out from that start too. So it was like Mercedes had the pace in this race last year.
Absolutely. Yeah. crazy restart. Obviously, another red flag coming out right after that due to all the carnage on the track. I also remember watching it live and just kind of waiting for it to kind of finish up. Obviously, not hoping it would finish up soon, but just knowing that we got about 20 seconds of racing and then another 20 minutes of a red flag waiting for everything to get cleaned up and then back out there.
I like the word carnage. We don't get to use that enough in F1. No, we don't. We would use it every week if we had a NASCAR pod, but F1, it's like it's wild we get to use carnage.
Probably for the best we don't get to see carnage every single week, but yeah, it is fun when it happens, I think. All right. After the final restart of the race, because all of this happened before the first sector line, we saw the race restarted back to where it was after the second red flag on lap 58 out of 58. Cars took the formation lap into the checkered flag. Signs dropping from 4th to 12th because of that penalty he got from hitting Alonso, getting that 5-second penalty, dropping just within a matter of seconds after crossing that checkered flag. Max Hamilton Alonso finishing that race in the podium.
I mean, Max Hamilton Alonso, I'd say that would look a little bit different this year. A little bit different. Obviously, probably the number one storyline, obviously Max. We haven't talked about Max at all this episode. We might as well. We have some listens in the Netherlands, do we not, Kev? Kev says 118. So we got to give them their flowers. Max is probably winning again this week. Moving on. but the Australians, I think, would be a number one story here. Obviously, Danny Ric just really isn't involved in this conversation either.
One of them will get points.
Well, and that's what I want to talk about. Is there, like, we keep seeing improvement from him. Is he going to beat out Lando at some point within the team?
Yeah.
To be that number one. I would say that Lando's still their number one right now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but he just beat him last race, and he's looking very good this year. So far as it goes, he just is showing that he took his offseason very seriously.
Yeah, and even the second half of last year, I mean, he was giving Lando a run for his money 75-80% of the time. He wasn't beating him, but he was right there with him. And, yeah, I mean, Piastri's looked really good.
Do we see Williams hit some points this week? Is this their time to get a point or two?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I think we see Albon at least fighting for points, absolutely. Sargeant, I'm unfortunately not too hopeful for, but Albon has something he really needs to prove. They both have something they need to prove, but Albon is the one who's been, he's been the one showing up.
For sure. I don't want to talk about every single team, but, I mean, we don't usually talk about some of the bottom teams. I mean, we saw Haas get a point last week. If K-Mag doesn't have all those penalties and runs even a slightly better race, he could get a point or two. Do we see another point for Haas this weekend?
I could see Haas up there. Alpine, I don't. Williams, I just don't think Alpine's that Williams' not. Car is where it needs to be.
Sure.
I think the only chance that Williams, Alpine, or even Stake have a chance at points as if we have another 3 or 4 DNFs.
For sure. Is that a possibility this
absolutely.
Year?
Are we
going to see carnage this year?
I definitely, me and Tyler were just kind of off mic here talking about it, but it's a fun race because all the crazy turns and stuff and the, I want to thank Hole Shot, but the grid starting off the race, right?
It is kind of Hole Shot, right?
Yeah.
You're right.
That's not what a hole shot is, boys.
You want? What do you mean?
A hole shot's whoever has the lead going in, coming out of the first corner.
That's what we're talking about. That's kind of what you're racing for at the Australian Grand Prix.
I'm thinking hole shot because when I was like 13, I used to race four wheelers, and you call it a hole shot when you start out the race. I couldn't think of the grid, starting like that.
Oh.
But
it still applies in a way, outside way.
Not when you're trying to say grid.
We rope. Well, no, not when you're trying to say grid. Yeah, 100%.
But there's that big thing where that first turn's crazy, and there could be really anything that happens this week there. It's interesting to see. Obviously, the bottom teams, I think Haas right now has some pretty good straight line speed too. So that's definitely somebody we can see taking that, 9th, 10th. It's tough now because you got four teams basically taking up the top 8, and then wherever Alonso finishes within there. 9 spots are pretty taken unless one of those guys have a DNF or a failure or something like that. Top 9 spots is taken. So, you know, who's going to get that 10th? I could see a Haas. I could see Magnussen.
What's crazy to think about those, like, nine positions, too, if you look at the performance of how everybody has looked this year, you can make a strong argument Lewis Hamilton is number nine on that list.
I mean, this season, 100%.
Two races
100%. In, so what is that, though? Is that the mixture of the car being more geared towards George, or is that Lewis struggling a little bit?
I don't think there's a car being more geared towards the other. I can't get behind that.
Because why wouldn't they just do it to each car then? Know what I mean? It's, they make the fine adjustments to each car then.
The only thing that can tailor a driver's liking to their rights is you can adjust certain things on the car, but the cars are identical going into it. You can do certain adjustments, braking adjustments, like you can affect drag to a certain degree, but it's I just think that I don't know. It's tough because George is outperforming him tenfold right now.
I mean, the only team that really pops up where they kind of gear a car towards somebody is Red Bull with Verstappen, right?
But Albon squashed that.
Well, he talked about how it's basically like when you race with that car, it's like racing on 10 sensitivity.
Well, no, Albon had an interview. It was a couple months ago now. He came out and he said everybody that says that, that's simply not the case. Because he was in that, that was everybody when he went in that Red Bull car. His car's tailored for Verstappen. He's like, the car is just so advanced, and it takes such a high, high, high level of skill to drive the car that Verstappen has mastered the ability to drive that car. Yeah, I wouldn't say the car is necessarily tailored for him as much as, the car is the car, and Verstappen has taken the most, he has, mastered that car. Because even between, when Mercedes run, sorry, Smelty.
No, it's good.
Mercedes run with Hamilton and Bottas, right? That car was the car. Bottas was up there. Bottas was, I'd say, performing better than what Checo was for Red Bull, obviously. But it was, it was the car's the car. It's just how good is the driver that can drive that car.
And Verstappen proved that to me last season. At this race, between turns 8 and 9, it's so fast through there. And he decides to pass Lewis on the outside of the turn. That's insane. That takes some kahunas. You know what I mean? Max has the skill, dude. Seriously. But, obviously it's a mix of the car, too. But you can't deny that the dude's talented.
But as far as, Lewis, I think we see this pretty consistently over the last few seasons as well, where he doesn't start off the season hot. But as things build up, he gets better and better. And by the end of the season, you're like, oh, that's Lewis Hamilton, right? Last year we saw this. He started off the season not so hot. I think the last couple seasons, especially with this Mercedes, he's not comfortable in the Mercedes. And they needed to make some shifts for him to be more comfortable. He's just not comfortable in the car right now. And I think that's why he has this, but he'll get comfortable in it. It's Lewis. He'll be fine. Last year, it took him till the end of the season for him to really kind of pop off and get some of those big placement points. But, I think ninth right now for sure, but we'll see him being up top five, top four again.
Joe, we didn't hear from you at all for this year's Australian race. What are you looking at this weekend? Then we'll get into our podium predictions.
Yeah, I mean, turn one is going to define the rest of the race, I think. If you're at the back of the pack, you're probably okay mid in front. You got to look out for people behind you. We've seen it plenty of times. Leclerc didn't beat himself. He got hit by Stroll. So that's going to really define the rest of the race. In terms of drivers, man, I would love to see an Aussie up, at least get some points. I think Oscar's going to do it. In fact, I might go one better. I think Oscar might beat out Lando in some fashion this weekend. I think just the pressure, knowing that he's got a stellar rookie season down, he feels good in the car, and now it's his home race. I'm really rooting for him to get a good placement. I don't think it's podium worthy per se, but way up there. And then on the Mercedes front, just a little bit, George just looks, I don't know if it's, he's more comfortable in that car or he's better in that car, but something's happening with Lewis right now. I do get that last year it took him throughout the season, he got better and better, but he was fighting for first. I mean, Russell and Hamilton were fighting for first in this race last year. I don't see them anywhere close to that at all. So something happened between then and now. Hamilton
What's
said
a whole
he,
new car?
I don't know. Hamilton
it
said
is. It's a whole new car. They completely scrapped the concept last year. They built an entirely new car this year. And Toto came out, I think it was last week, and said, the car ain't working.
Yeah. In fact, I think one of the news headlines that I try to avoid, but I saw, they're managing expectations for this weekend. They think there's fundamentally something wrong with the car going into it. Yeah. I think Mercedes, unfortunately, is not going to be where we want them to be at the end of the race.
They're so far behind in the high-speed corners right now, it's not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Lewis even trying to fight last week. I forgot who it was. It might have actually been Lando.
Yeah.
Lando. And it was like during the top line speed, like the long stretches and Jetta, Lewis was catching him. He was getting in DRS zone and he was getting to a point four, like point to getting 2.4 of him. And then those first six turns on Jetta last week, those high speed corners, Lando was flying away. Like that Mercedes is so slow in the high speed corners right now, it's not even funny.
It especially with Lewis, I always see a video that pops up where he's in like 18th and the engineer goes, "It's hammer time." It sucks that right now, all we deal with Lewis is Lewis saying, "I can't catch them. These cars way
these
too
cars
fast.
These cars are so fast.
That car's quick. It's a lightning." What does he always say? It's a rocket ship.
I want to get back to where Lewis and the engineer are going hammer time. That's fun. That's exciting. This just sucks. It sucks to see Lewis in this car. It sucks to see everything about it. Tough.
Well, and we're going to get that change soon enough, to be honest. Did you have one more thought?
One thing
on
just to add from a news perspective as well that I forgot about is that it came out and Bono is not coming with Lewis to go to Ferrari. He has a clause in his contract that keeps him in Mercedes. So Sainz's current engineer will be Hamilton's engineer in Ferrari next year.
No pressure.
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. I did not know that. Why don't you just lead us off right off your podium for this week in the Australian Grand Prix?
Mine's going to be, I mean, I got the podium from last week. I got Verstappen, Leclerc, and Checo.
Okay.
I think it's going to take something monumental for a Ferrari Red Bull not to finish 1-2 or take the podium.
Cole?
I'm going to agree. It's going to be Verstappen, Checo, and Leclerc. Obviously, I picked Sainz last week. It sucks that he was, you know, with the appendicitis. But, yeah, it's going to be Ferrari up there. And Leclerc's looking good right now. He seems comfortable with the car. Good to go there.
For sure. Joe, who we got?
I love to break a pattern, but I don't think I'm going to be doing that this time around. There's just facts in front of me. This was a hard decision. I was going between, obviously, Max and Checo, definitely in that podium. I was going between Russell and Leclerc. Charles won 2022. He was tagged by Stroll last year. I think he could have gotten a really good place if that didn't happen. Merck last year was also very, very strong. They just had bad luck and car issues. But at the end of the day, the car's not the same as it was last year. It's definitely worse than it was last year. And leading up to the Grand Prix, they're saying, like I said before, they're saying there's something wrong with the car. They still need to fix it. It's not where it needs to be. So for that, Max, Checo, and Leclerc.
Dang. Okay. Well, we have three matching ones, so I'm just going to go ahead and change it up. I do think Checo will get two. That's fine. Or on the podium is what we're doing, right? I wanted to be fun and say like Oscar or something, but I don't believe that he can be beat out both Ferraris and honestly George, which is actually who I'm going to go with. I think there's just going to be a random surprise. I think George will figure it out. Lewis will struggle with their car issues, but I don't want to be the exact same, so we took a risk, and it will pay off for me.
I like that prediction.
But with that pretty much wraps up Fast Laps for this week. Just don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, please, seriously. There's, you know, a lot of you have, and that's excellent. You know, share it with your friends, man, if you enjoy listening to it. Check out our other shows if you have any interest at all. We talk about some NFL. We've ripped some packs if you're into the sports memorabilia, sports card world. We have also talked some hockey if you're into that as well. So got a couple different shows going on, but please, if you like Fast Laps, again, like, comment, subscribe. This has been Smell to the Banner Crew. We're out.
Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe. Tune in next time for more Banter with the Boys.